Scripture reading before Brother Mike brings the lesson this morning will come from Psalms 119, verses 76 through 82. Psalms 119, verses 76 through 82. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me, without cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I not be ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me?
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we are here to worship our God in spirit and in truth. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to come before you to encourage. We have been talking about God's bidding all month and how we as God's people must be instruments of God, that God must be speaking through us. And when we consider God's bidding, we're talking about his will, talking about his word, and how his word must be at the forefront of our minds. On last week, we had a great lesson by Brother Evan. The week before that, we had a great lesson by Brother Brian. And also, we had a lesson on the first week by myself. I want us to consider, when we think about choosing God's word, we want to make sure that we're choosing God's word to do the very things that he would desire for us to do. I'm thankful for the reading of scripture, and I want us to read for emphasis' sake, but I want us to begin at verse 73. So if you will, let us look at Psalm 119, beginning at verse 73. Your hand hath made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. According to your word, your servant, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. I want us to consider these words because when we think about God's word and how vitally important it is for us to learn God's word in order to help our spiritual well-being. We know that we are made in the very image of God and that we have the responsibility to study God's word, to be precise when we are studying God's word, to conclude that which is right. And the reason why is because we have the responsibility of not only preaching the whole counsel of God, but learning the whole counsel of God, that the word of God may reprove us, rebuke us, and exhort us. But what do we mean by reprove us, rebuke us, and exhort us? To correct us, to challenge us, to encourage us. We understand that the psalmist here on two different occasions in these passages uses the word comfort. The idea of comfort is the idea of calling to the side or calling one to the side. We understand that as we're preaching the word and making sure that we're rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're going to be speaking the truth. But God's word is also for our comfort. It's for our care. It's to help us, to strengthen us. We know that when we consider being encouraged, that man born of woman is of few days and is full of trouble. Job 14:1 demonstrates that, and we know that life can be a little bit troubling at times. Yet, when we think about God's word and how God's word is designed to comfort us, I want us to turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we see some things that are very encouraging. But I want to make one quick little point here, and then we'll come back to it here in a few minutes. For God's word and choosing God's word to comfort us is vitally important. I'm reminded on one occasion when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse number 32, where he says, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to encourage you." And at times we need that encouragement. At times we need that correction. At times we need to be shown what we need to do to correct our lives. But we also need to be built up, to be encouraged. When we consider 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, we see something interesting about the God of heaven. Here the Bible tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Our Father is the God of all comfort. He truly desires to comfort us. I was talking to Brother Leon this week, and we were talking about this, and we were gaining great encouragement from the Word of God together. And we was considering how Jesus would be the world's comfort. If you will, turn in your Bibles, Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we see something about Simeon. Simeon had something to say about Jesus the Christ. In verse 25, the Bible here says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel," the comfort of Israel, "and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Here, he was waiting for the comfort of Israel. Israel was going to be comforted by God through Jesus the Christ, waiting for him. But also, we understand that the Holy Spirit, he is the comforter. In John chapter 14 and verse number 15, Jesus would say, "I'm going to send you another comforter," which implies that Jesus himself was a comforter and that God himself is a comforter. But also we understand that the word of God is designed to comfort us. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, matter of fact, we'll read verse number 4 since we already read verse 3. But let me make this small little comment. Brother Leon, I was thinking about this and I thought about Noah. And when Lamech had Noah, he said that this will comfort us. You remember when the flood came, it would be Noah that God would be speaking through and working through in order to build the ark, in order for people to enter inside of the ark to receive that salvation. But notice 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse number 3 and 4. Verse number 4, rather. "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, all our trouble, that we may be able," now notice what he says here, "with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." Friends, when we think about those of us who are in trouble, those who have tribulation, those who have problems and concerns, all of us at times, have troubles, tribulations, problems. The Word of God is not just designed to reprove and to rebuke, but also to encourage, to comfort. Friends, when I stopped and I thought about this week, I was saying to myself, we ought to be choosing God's Word to comfort one another. So many different places we find in the New Testament where Paul would say, comfort one another, Brother Royce, with these words. We ought to be trying to use the right words in order to comfort one another. We ought to be trying to use the Word of God to comfort one another. But why? Because there's trouble in our lives at times. Sometimes it's trouble because of the decisions we've made. Sometimes it's trouble because of the decisions other people made. And sometimes, as Solomon would say in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, I believe, time and chance happen to us all. Sometimes you can just be at the right place at the wrong time, or the wrong place at the right time, and trouble find me. Even Job would say, that which I feared the most have come upon me. And he did nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. So we need God's word to comfort us. Turn your Bibles to the book of Jude, and we'll come back to 2 Corinthians here in a few minutes. In the book of Jude, we understand that we have the pleasure and the responsibility, and I put it in that order, to build up one another. In Jude 20, notice what our brother Jude has to say. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Friends, God's word is designed to comfort us. It's designed to build us up. And we ought to go to God's word to be encouraged, to be built up. Sometimes we resort to all other manners of whatever instead of going to the word of God. Friends, we have to use God's word. God's word has to saturate our minds. We must be thinking scripture. Sometimes our discomfort comes because we don't have God's word in our minds. We need to be thinking upon God's word so we can actually apply it. One more set of scripture and then we'll go back. 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, our dear brother Peter has this to say as it relates to the power. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse number 1, notice what the Bible here says. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith. You can read the rest of it. But here, God has given us everything that we need that pertain to life and godliness through his word. And so the God of all comfort has sent Jesus Christ, who is a comforter, who sent the Holy Spirit, who is a comforter, who has given us his word, who is a comforter as well. And we comfort one another with these words. Friends, we ought to be comforting one another with these words. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Choosing God's word to comfort, yes, but also choosing God's word to show us the invisible. This is my favorite point right here. And the reason why is because sometimes as the people of God, we look at the physical so much. We consider the carnal so much that we're not observing the spiritual. Here we understand in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse number 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse number 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being what? Renewed day by day. There are so many passages that we can refer to as it relates to what we ought to be doing day by day. Renewing our minds day by day. Romans 12 and verse number 1. Renewing our minds every single day. Here, the Apostle Paul continues and notice what he says in verse 17. For our light affliction, our light trouble, our light tribulation, and make no mistake about it, that when you compare your life in comparison to Jesus Christ, friends, there is no comparison. There is no comparison whatsoever. No wonder the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18, as relates to this life, doesn't even pair in comparison to what we have waiting for us. And so sometimes the life that we're in right now is bearing down on us so hard that we don't even refer to the Word of God. Friends, we need to choose the Word of God to see the invisible. Notice what he goes on to say. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Friends, family, did you see that? Did you hear that? The things that we see, temporary. Everything that we see down here, temporary. Yet the things that God desires for us to see are eternal. God wants us to see the invisible. And so the more I was considering this, it made me think about how God desires for us to be intentional in this life. Why do we focus so much on the physical? Maybe because we are physical people. Maybe because we are living in a physical world, rightfully so. However, God made us in his image. Genesis 1 and verse 26, after his likeness. Therefore, God is spirit. God made us spiritual beings, but we have flesh. But we need to look at the spiritual. I'm reminded, turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11. And you remember when the children of Israel were coming out of Egyptian bondage and they would be following God. They would be following Brother Leon, that pillar of a cloud and that pillar of a fire by night. Yet they were following God. In verse number 27, here we see something very interesting. By faith, by trust. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. By faith, he, talking about Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is what? Invisible. He was following the invisible God, the God that was going to be leading him and them out of captivity, out of bondage, if you will. So going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, we understand that if we're going to see the invisible, that we have to choose, friends, to be intentional as we renew the inward man every single day. Sometimes we can focus so much on this flesh, on this physical body. And rightfully so, we need to take care of it. We need to eat right. We need to make sure we exercise. We need to do those things. We understand that. However, it's the inward man that we need to be taken care of, which means that that inward man needs to show up for worship. That inward man needs to make sure that he is praying, that she is singing, that she is meditating on God's word, that he is making sure that they are meditating and doing everything that God will have them to do through obedience. The inward man. It's the inward man, again, that must be built up and encouraged. And so how do we do this?
Again, Romans 12, verse number 1 and 2. But turn to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 10. In Colossians 3 and verse 10, I wish I had time to read 1 through 10, but we don't. But in Colossians 3 and verse number 10, notice what our brother Paul has to say. Matter of fact, let's start at verse 8 and we'll come down to verse 10. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, notice this, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Friends, God wants us to be renewed. He wants us as his people to see the invisible, to see the spiritual. And sometimes, because of the physicality of life and the carnality of life, now I'm not saying the sin of life, I'm talking about just life, period. You have to be able to see the spiritual. You have to see the spiritual. And sometimes we're not looking at the spiritual, and it is a great undertaking to try to live this life without the spiritual. You remember what Jesus said on one occasion in John 6 and verse number 63? He said, "My words are spirit and they are life," which means that if I'm going to live this life in a spiritual fashion, I have to go to the Word of God. I have to allow the Word of God to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and looking at verse number 17, and notice what he says here. We just kind of alluded to it earlier, but notice what he says. For our light affliction, our light tribulation, our light trouble and struggle, which is but for a moment. Friends, in view of eternality, in view of eternity, friends, the things that we go through down here are for a short period of time. And so we have to choose God's word to see the invisible, to show the invisible. I'm reminded of the psalmist David in Psalm 90 as relates to our time here on earth. 70, by reason of health and strength, 80. You live past 80, you're on borrowed time. That's interesting, right? Friends, we're not going to be here that long. In view of eternity, we're not going to be here that long. And so as children of God, there will be trouble. There will be strife. Yet God's word, again, is not just for reproving and rebuking, but it's for encouragement. And God desires for us to use his word, not just from the pulpit, but with one another, encourage one another with these words. Life is difficult at times. And at best, we have good days and we have bad days. But we have motivation. Look at Revelation 22. In Revelation 22, we understand that God has given us great motivation. Yesterday, we was privileged, a couple of us, to go to a men's retreat in Fort Stockton, and had a great time. And talking about God's word and shooting guns, and it was just a beautiful thing. And one of the things that we talked about was motivation. God's word is designed to motivate us to see the invisible, to see the spiritual. Friends, you can sit there and look at your life and the things that may happen to you physically from a health perspective. You can name it. However, God is always trying to elevate our thinking. He's always trying to elevate our thinking from the physical to the eternal, the spiritual from the carnal to the eternal or the spiritual. But sometimes, friends, we need motivation. I'm not going to read all of these passages, but look at verse number 3 through verse number 5, Revelation 22. Here we see this: "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Guess what's going to take place in glory? Guess what's going to take place in the spiritual realm, heaven? We're going to be serving God. I got a question. Are you serving God now? Are we serving God right now? Notice what he goes on to say. Verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. Hold on. We actually get to see God for who he is? But according, we get to see the invisible God? We get to be in his presence? Absolutely. No one can see God right now. John 5:37. We understand the invisible God cannot be seen. Only through his characteristics we see God. We see his creation, but one day we'll actually be in his presence. God wants us to see the invisible. Here's the question. Are we willing to see him? We'll end with this because I truly believe it's a blessing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, now 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We understand that choosing God's word for comfort is very important. God is the God of all comfort. God wants us to see the invisible. Yet, God's word, when we choose it, is to help us walk with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse number 14, put your seatbelts on. You might feel a little bit of turbulence. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you, talking about the church, are the temple of the living God. As God has said, now notice what God says as he is quoting from the Old Testament. Zechariah 8 and verse number 8 and other passages. He says, I will dwell in them and walk among them. In order for God to dwell amongst his people must make up their mind that they're going to allow the word of God to be their comfort, to be their guide, so they can walk with him. Here, he says, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Not only do we have identity, friends, we have one that is walking with us because we are walking with him. Friends, when we stop and we consider God's word, you cannot walk with God if you're not walking in the word. In Galatians 5 and verse number 16, there the Bible says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we understand that God's word is designed to help us to see the spiritual, to see the invisible, to understand who the one true living God is. And notice in verse 17, he says, therefore, if I'm going to dwell with them, if I'm going to walk among them, if I'm going to be their God, if they're going to be my people, then God has a right to say what he's saying right here in verse 17. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Friends, we must be careful who we're fellowshipping with. We must be careful that we are the influencing one instead of being influenced by sin. Friends, we have to be careful. Why? Because if we're going to continue to walk with our God, if we're going to continue to think like our God, we have to be careful what we are fellowshipping with or fellowshipping. God wants us to be persuaded to commune with him. And we see that in verse number 16. He wants us to come out from among them and be separate. It is a beautiful thing to be a separate people, to be a holy people. Peter would say this in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 15 and 16, that be ye holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God. He's separate from sin. And we as the people of God must choose God's word to walk with him, to help us walk with him. Friends, you stop and you consider this. We need to consider this. We need to always be reminded that being in the presence of Almighty God requires commitment to come out of the world's influences. Being in the presence of God should remind us as Christians that we have a spiritual father. And being in the presence of God relays to us that we have camaraderie with God. Here's my question. What type of camaraderie do I have with God? Sometimes I ask children of God, when is the last time you really studied and meditated on God's word? I really don't really have a lot of time. Then how do you get to know him? How do you get to know who God really is? How do we get to know who his son is? Proverbs 30 and verse number 4. Do we know him? Do we know his son? Do we know the word of God? Do we understand that God's word is designed to comfort us? And even in the midst of trouble, Sister Evelyn, we can be comforted all because we have the word of God in our hearts. It's the word of God. The God of heaven gave us his word so we can know him. And friends, the only way to know him is to get in his word and to apply it to our lives. So how do I know in application that I know God? Go to Galatians 5. Jesus says something very interesting about knowing them by their fruit. Fruit is important. I was talking to a person at the gym this week, last week rather, and we were having a real good conversation. And the conversation morphed into some other things. And one of the things that came out is we were talking about feet. And I was telling her about a video that I was looking at. Dr. Berg, he's my PPO. He's my doctor. And he said there is a vein that goes from your brain to your feet. And you could tell a lot about your health by looking at your feet. And I was considering that, thinking about that, and it made me think about fruit and how fruit and feet don't lie. My wife don't touch my feet. I wish she would, but she doesn't. But that's fine. Here's the point I'm making with that. You know, if your feet are not well, something is probably not going well inside of your body. Do you know that wherever your feet go, it's because your mind told it to go that way? Friends, are your feet walking toward God? Because the way that I know that I'm walking with God, my feet are going to walk toward godly things, spiritual things. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we just looked at Galatians 5 and verse 16 by way of quoting. But we see something here, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice what he says about the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are the things that the Spirit produces in our lives. And don't you know that there is no limit to the production of this fruit? Remember, we was consulting 2 Peter chapter 1, and I said, go and read the rest of verse 5 through the end of the chapter. When we consider adding to your faith, it ends with charity, love. Here, Paul, by inspiration, begins with charity, love. There, he ends with love. It begins with love, it ends with love. When we consider choosing God's word, we ought to choose God's word to walk with God, and we ought to know that I'm walking with God when I see the fruit, when I see where my feet are going. And so for this reason, we want to make sure that we're walking the right way. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll close with this. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse number 1 and 2, we see something very interesting. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Watch this. And walk in love. Walk in love? Yes, walk in love. How do I walk in love? Well, I walk in love by keeping the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. John 14, verse 15. I walk in love when I make sure that I'm doing what is best for another. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. But notice what he says in verses 8 through 14. So we're walking in love, but we also, according to verse number 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in love, yes, but also walk in the light. Well, how do I walk in the light? Well, in Psalm 119, verses 105, we understand that God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. We are commanded to walk in the light just as he is in the light. 1 John 1, 7. But he even goes further. If you look at verse number 15 in Ephesians 5, see, notice what he says there. See then that ye walk circumspectly, walk carefully. How do I know I'm walking with God? I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in love. I'm walking carefully. I'm actually taking my time to make sure that I'm walking the way that God would have me to walk. So, again, choosing God's word is important. Choosing God's word to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort, but we want to encourage one another to walk the right way. And so, as God's people, let us encourage one another. And as Paul would say on multiple occasions, comfort one another with these words. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father in heaven, we're thankful for this morning, the opportunity to come before you, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. We ask, dear Father, that you be with us as we strive to do that which is right. Help us to be a people who understand that you are the God of all comfort. And help us to be a people who understand that we must follow you who is invisible. And help us to be a people who understand that we need to walk with you. For you desire to be our Father. And you desire for us to be your children. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to help one another. And help us to love one another, to serve one another, to be there for one another, to encourage one another. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider, being part of a group of people, the Lord's Church at 9th and Main, that don't mind encouraging one another. Because every now and then, God's people need to be built up in the most holy faith. Every now and then, God's people need to be encouraged. And this world has a way of beating us up. And sometimes those who beat us up are our own family in the world. But this spiritual family is designed to encourage, is designed to correct, designed to instruct. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider obeying the gospel, which is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ, the kingdom of God, Mark 1, 14 and 15. But how do I do that? You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe a child of God, well, you haven't been an encouragement. Maybe you're always seeking to be encouraged. Friends, every now and then, we need to be the encourager. We need to be the Barnabas. We need to seek out people to encourage. There are a few people on the list that needs to be prayed for. We need to encourage those people. We need to encourage our brethren. The more I think about
Sister Motherwell, the more I want to encourage her. But why? That's my sister. Friends, we ought to be seeking opportunities to encourage. Let's encourage each other to be faithful, to do God's will, to one day see God's face. Because really, that's what life is about. Jesus would say these words, "What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Friends, we can gain it all down here, but if we don't hear those words, "Well done," we've lost it all. And so let's encourage each other to hold fast to the plow and don't let it go. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.